a lot of y'all have been under some teaching, especially if you've been here long enough with Pastor Lashley, in dispensationalism and the principles of it. I'm going to slow down in it just a little bit and talk about each thing that's happened. And there's a good explanation. Bob just gave me a book, and it's really nice, laid out very well. And in the very first beginning of the book, it gives a good description. A dispensation is a period of time during which God deals in a particular way with man in respect to sin and man's responsibilities. The word dispensation means administration. So it was this dispensation word was first found in 1 Corinthians 9:17. It's helpful to me when I look at things logically speaking, to put it in a format of outlines and spreadsheets. I'm just an engineer, and that stuff makes sense to me. Charts and that kind of, I can get the picture of things. Of course, I've used Larkin's stuff, and I'm using Henry Morrison's stuff, and I'm using some other people's stuff. And you get a cross reference from all that. And even in our own Bibles, the footnotes there in our King James Version, he has some stuff in there that's wonderful. It's good. And study Bibles and on and on and on. But we've came to the point to where we've come past, I think, the first two verses in Genesis, that where there is opinions on whether there is an eighth or ninth dispensation, and that kind of deals with that. I believe most conventional, fundamental, independent Baptist churches today believe in seven. And that's kind of where I'm going to go with it. And we're going to start kind of on the first one today. And all that chaotic earth theory and all that, you know, men differ on an opinion, but it's an opinion based on taking pieces and bits of verses and some whole verses across the Bible. So we're just going to park that, and we're going to start in Genesis, and not going to read it all. There's too much there to read to get through it, but we're going to kind of blink our eyes and know that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, and forward in Genesis chapter 2, it talks about the creation of the earth, the heavens, the stars, time, the whole thing coming into being, and God caused it to come into being. I believe that. I think most of us here believe that and understand that to be the truth of the matter. Now, in the today's world we live in, of course, kids are getting taught other things, and this crazy Darwinism and all that came about 100 or some years ago, and it was a paper written as an opinion about a piece of bone about that size, and this whole thing got just, the devil blew it out of proportion to confuse man's minds. That's what the devil does, and we're going to talk about that a little bit too, what he did to Eve, and then when she turned around and handed it to Adam, and they were both got confused. The devil still today plays the same tricks on us and our families. He is the author of confusion. And that's why our world is so confused. The devil has just got loose. And we can see that across the board in our great country. As things are being voted on and people are being voted on and issues are being voted on, whether you support this or that, or is this crowd going to be let into church, or are they going to be let to preach, or on and on and all this stuff. There's so much confusion across the board in all the issues of life. And we can just, if we get away from God's word, folks, we're going to be confused. And one of the things is, if you can get straight in your hearts and minds and I know a lot of you already do, it's good to go over and over. They teach us in college to repeat things in hermeneutics. You teach in a way you repeat it. You repeat God's word, repeat what it says, and from time to time teach it over and over again. It doesn't hurt us. It refreshes our hearts and our minds and gives us the ability to stand up the fiery darts of the devil in this old world. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to start there in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. And we're going to break this thing down a little bit. We're going to look at this. This is what they call the dispensation of innocence, the Edenic, the Garden of Eden time period. And it's at the time, we're going to look at time and testing and the termination of each one of these dispensations. I think we'll just get through this one today and start the next one next week. Antediluvial means before the flood. What happened to mankind before the flood? From the fall to the flood next week. And this week, I think we'll just try to get out of Eden and get out of the garden and set mankind on a path, and we'll see how civilization developed because of sin entering into the world. I've got a big timeline that I picked up over at the Ark display, and you fold it all out. It may lay on that seat right there. But then it talks about from Adam and Eve and all their kids and their kids' kids and on. And you see how it all branches out and how that sin, and when sin entered into the world, you know, God created the earth to be a perfect place. The garden was perfect. There was no hurt, no pain. The animals were nice. They didn't bite you. There were no thorns to fight. And this, all of a sudden, because of sin entering into the world, into Adam and Eve, you know, we had to do work. We had thorns and we had weeds and we had animals started biting us and all that kind of thing. So it's affected the earth. Earth was created perfectly. God don't create things that's not right. It's a perfect environment, a perfect earth. Because God made it that way. It's the sin that messed it up, that we deal with still today. And we'll deal with it until the Lord comes back and starts the process through 7-year tribulation and then into the 1,000-year reign and then into eternity future. And we'll eventually get to those things too, how God deals with each one of those in time and testing and termination of mankind dealing with sin, dealing with how we deal with sin and through that. So let's look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Let's pray and we'll get started. Lord, I thank you for your love. Thank you for your word. I thank you so much for giving us a little bit of understanding. Some things is going to be a mystery till we get and see you. But some things you've opened up to us. Lord, help our hearts and minds to be open to your word and your teachings. And what the word says, Lord, we believe the word and we thank you for that. Give us faith. Give us faith to understand. Give us knowledge. We want your knowledge. I want the knowledge of God. And I want everybody to get that knowledge and use it to help preach the gospel to this old world. Lord, we love you and thank you. Give us a good day in church. Pray for our pastor today. He brings the word that it'll change somebody's heart today, that they may get saved eternally forever. Because of your precious blood, in Jesus' name, amen. So it says there in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished." Heavens and earth was finished. Can you add anything to that or take it? I don't think you can. It's finished. And all the host of them, all the host of the heavens. Now, when we talk about heavens in the Bible, we talk about the atmosphere of the earth and the starry sky and in heaven, the abode of God. But the host of them, and the word all, and all the host of them, it was done, period. And by faith, I'll reach out and hold God's hand and say, I don't understand all that, but I believe it. And because of Christ being in my heart and the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we can grab onto that. Now, sometimes we can squash the Holy Spirit's unctions in our lives with sin, but doesn't run him off, praise the Lord. God's always there. We just have to reach out and say, God, help me with this. Give me an understanding of this. Help me to use this somehow to get to my friends or talk to those kids. Or, you know, I deal with a lot of, I call them young people, and we all do too, those 40s and 50s. They, a lot of them just don't get it. They've never heard this. And they'll get off a piece of equipment and come down and start talking to you about something. And you can see right now they've never been taught it. They've never heard it in church. It blows my mind that some people go to church and never hear the great truths and the basic fundamentals of God's word. We sit here and we're so blessed to be in this church that we've heard it so many times and been taught it. And you all have taught it and teached it and preached it, and everybody here has been part of some ministry at one time, and we just, you can't take that for granted, guys. God has blessed us with some knowledge far beyond what most of the churches out here have. Now, there's good people. They're good people, and they're saved. They trust the Lord, know that Jesus died for them, and trust that. But then you start getting down into the daily word of God and trying to live your life by it, then that's where Satan comes in with confusion. And if we can say anything or do anything to eliminate some of that confusion with people, it's don't be shy about talking to people. If God leads you by somebody and you think they need to hear a word of encouragement, give them a word of encouragement. There's so many people out there. You just give them a word of encouragement, you can strike up a conversation. How you doing today? You okay? Somebody drops something in the floor at the grocery store. It's an opportunity to run over and pick it up for them. I mean, that's life. And nobody in today's world, people walk by, they don't know what, not only pick, they don't pick it up, they kick it or step on it. I'm not that way. We should not, as Christian men and ladies, we not need not to be that way. Basic stuff that we learned so many years ago from our parents or grandparents, and it's carried through our life. It's just not getting taught today. And people are starving for someone to take a minute with them. A minute. And just say, hello, how you doing? You go to church anywhere? Come on down to Buffalo Ridge. We'd love to have you. How long does it take to say that? But anyway, I've got off again. But anyway, okay, verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day and from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all the work which God created and man and made. So right there, seventh day, rest. How can you argue with that? I mean, some people want to have church on this day or that day or these Saturday people and all these other things. The seventh day is the day of rest. That's God set it up in the beginning. So we see that that we have in this chapter 2, the starting of, he's getting ready to create man and woman in chapter 2. And we see that it doesn't take long for Satan to enter into the world and mess things up. And that all happens very quickly. Based on the timelines that I've been looking at, I don't think we're not messing around here with thousands of years. Some people say, oh, days, a thousand, and all that kind of stuff. Based on timelines, when people were born and how long they lived, you start looking at Adam and Noah and how all the word was passed down. It's an amazing chart. If you've never seen, I may bring it. It's a big old thing. I could lay it out here and let everybody look at it. But, you know, Adam passed it on to him, and Noah passed it on to him, and he passed it on and on and on and on. Their lifespans up until a point were, you know, 900 years or 1,000 years. Does that speak of a 1,000-year reign that links into this thing at the last dispensation? We go back to that 1,000-year thing. So, you know, there's a lot of things just start to fit together when you really start digging down in it. But they were innocent. They were so innocent. I mean, God made man and he seen he needed a mate and he made a mate for him. An helpmeet. And they lived happily there in the garden. And again, I don't think it was much more 120 years maybe. They were there before the Satan appeared as a serpent. But they were happy. It was perfect. God came down, and we know he walked in the cool of the evening with them and talked to them and fellowshipped with them. His creation, he loved it. He loves it now. And he loved it then. Of course, we can talk about when Lucifer stood up and said, I'm going to be like God, and when he got thrown out of heaven, sometime prior to this or sometime during this, some people want to try to pin that time down. Time is very fluid. And God has no time in heaven. There is no time. We're all going to get to heaven on the same day. I really believe that. My wife just got there, and I'm going to get there someday here in the future, and we're going to both say, well, we just got here. What a wonderful thing. Why would God not want it that way for his children? He wants good for us. So, anyway, we try to put time to all of this stuff. And it kind of can cause speculation and confusion on some of the verses. People want to go out and pull out and prove this or prove that. Well, I can pull out verses, I can pull out mathematics, and I can pull out geology, and I can pull out all kinds of stuff. Sedimentology and, you know, oil, gas, coal, the earth, you know. But you start really looking at the timeline, and I can agree 6 to 10,000 years ago when this happened, I can work with that because of some of the fossil finds and the beginnings of tools and weapons. Think about this. After sin entered the world, Adam and Eve, they came out of the garden. And God said they were going to have woes and troubles. And one of the things that happened with probably within 100 years, two brothers fought and one got killed by a weapon. And that man went off into another country, Nod, I think, or whatever it was. And the fossil finds of today, modern archaeological finds, in parts in northern parts of Europe and middle parts of Europe, date right at that time. They were creating spears and hammers and sharp instruments, weapons of war. We can get really creative in how to kill each other because of sin. Now we have one button that can wipe out the northern hemisphere. We've gotten really creative in killing each other. And who wants that? The devil wants it. That's why he came here. He could not stand to see God be successful in creating an earth that was perfect. And he said, I, if you go back and look at him, he's eat up with I. And we've heard that message before. I'm going to be like God. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this. Well, I'm just going to go down to earth and I'm going to take over. I want to rule the world. That's all it's about. Same old sin that we have today. Selfish, self-centered. I can do it. I can do it on my own. I don't need God's help. On and on we go, and we let Satan influence us. It's no excuse, but we are sinners saved by grace. And if we don't hold on to God, we'll let some of this garbage get in our hearts and our minds and mess us up on time and testing and what happened in the garden and all this period of time. And we can just talk around and have discussions. And there's some wonderful discussions on the internet. And you just got to be careful. Just take the Bible for what it says. Just take those verses for what they say. It was finished. He done it. So we see that it was the time for Adam and Eve. They were in the garden. They were innocent. So we look at this dispensation of Eden, the Edenic dispensation, if you want to say it that way. Or you can say it, the dispensation that of innocence. It's easy for me to remember. They were very innocent. And then you see this time period. We want to work time back in there because God created time. Time's moving at this point on the earth. We don't really know how long it was, but probably a short period of time based on civilization, ancient civilization, back to that period of time. If you do historical civilization studies, which I'm not no expert on that, but I like to look at it and think about it and dive into parts of it. I've got a granddaughter that thinks she wants to teach that in school. Praise the Lord. But when you start mixing up opinions, again, I'm just going over and over this stuff because people have opinions. There's professors can, with their, look like they just got out of bed and they still have their pajamas on and they're laying on their desk teaching what they believe. And that happens. What if I come to church in my pajamas and have my flip-flops on and laid up here on this? Just laid over and say, well, y'all had a good morning. I believe that this book says it this way, and that's what we're going to teach, and that's what's going to be on the test. What is my Christian granddaughter or son going to, how are they going to pass that test? Now, I know some young people here that's already dealt with it. There's one here last week that dealt with it, and Michael dealt with it, and some other people that I know that's already gone in life. Live in other places and working. It gets to the point to where you've just got to take the test, put the right answer down just to get the grade, and don't let that get in your head. Now, how many of those youngins let that get in their head? It's the world, boys. And if we don't teach it and preach it and talk it and in and out, and when they're in your house and out of your house and on the sidewalk at the gas station, everywhere we go, we got to do it. Because Satan's full time against us. Because he was coming down here to stop this beautiful place. It was time for him to show up. It was a really short period of time. You know, God dealt differently in each one of these dispensations. We'll see how God deals differently in different situations. He dealt differently with the nation of Israel. He deals differently with us in the church age and in Israel under the law, in the age of grace. And he dealt with Adam and Eve differently. So the test came. So we see that a testing in there in chapter 2, but down in verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge and good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou shalt eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now, whether Adam thought that he'd kick over the minute he took that bite, which is not what happened. But the death of mankind came down on man at this point. Because Satan came in. In Genesis 3:15 it says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman." Now, it's getting ready to happen. It's getting ready to happen. So we see, here we are, we're just in this first dispensation of mankind. And Satan don't waste any time. And then the lie, here comes the lie. Satan is a liar and the father of it. Still today, he don't have no new tricks in his back. He ain't too smart, as the old Creek boy said. Still the same old things. Here we go in Genesis 3:1, it says, "Now the serpent, being more subtle than any of the beasts of the field, which the Lord had made, and he said unto the woman," I like to see this guy's lips moving, being a serpent. I wonder if he had one with a forky tongue. He may have had a lisp. You think he may have had a lisp? Whatever, she understood him. "And he said to the woman," I love women. God made women. Women is who they are. You are who you are. And all this movements, this and that we've had over the last 20 or 30 years trying to make men women and women men and you know, rights and all this kind of stuff. I'm telling you now, I know what my wife is like, and I've talked to other men and they know what their wife is like. Women have radar that men don't have. Now they can say, "Now, you see that person? You better watch out right there. They're going to have trouble." Women have a radar now. Well, Satan come in and got to the woman first. Because he didn't want to go to Adam, because if he'd went to Adam and Eve looked over where it come from, she may have said, you may not listen to that guy. No, he came to her first to mess her mind up on what God had said. He's got some sense about him, but he ain't all powerful and all-knowing like God. God's going to take care of his business with this man, this demon, this serpent, this beautiful angel. that got thrown out of heaven. So here he is now, this serpent, and he comes down, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, yea, shall not eat of every tree in the garden? He's asking one, what did God say? And she turns around and says, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And here it is. And the serpent said unto the woman, yea, shall not surely die? Well, what do you mean? You mean to tell me you believe that God will make you die from eating that fruit? You mean to tell me if you go down there to that store and you feel like you have the right to take that pack of gum, it ain't going to hurt nobody. And on it goes. You mean to tell me you took that card, that collector's card off that boy's desk? You mean to tell me that? You mean to tell me that you parked in that parking lot and you didn't have a pass to park there? You stole that parking money. Might as well have. See? It starts early with our youngins. Just little bitty things. We just got to beware that Satan's lying to them. Oh, it's okay to go over there and park. It's close to the class. You won't have to walk very far. You see? Same old tricks. Same old tricks on our grandchildren. Got grandchildren. 17 down through 11. Satan's going to lie to them. We just got to be sharper than Satan. We got to stay in the Word. We got to be watching, listening to everything. Because he will grab them and they'll fall into the same thing that he fell into. Satan was sharp. He was smart. Oh, that's not what he really means. I mean, it'll be okay. He says, for God doth know that the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be like gods, knowing good and evil. You'll know everything. You'll be like a god. Don't you want to be like a god? Don't you want to be popular in this crowded school? Don't you want to be popular with that business group? You need to go to their dinner and enjoy all the benefits of that dinner and indulge in the alcohol, or they'll make fun of you. Satan will throw it at you. Been there. And you stand up and you quote some verses and the devil will get out of there. But you see, we got to train our children. You and I have got a little shield built up to where we can fend it off. But don't you ever think that Satan don't know that you've got a crack somewhere that he can drive a wedge in and get into your heart and mind. Well, I'm too old. I'm a senior saint. I wouldn't let the devil do that to me. Don't you ever think you can't fall. Satan's sharp when it comes to that kind of junk. See, what did he attack? He attacked that lady's stomach because she wanted to eat it. He wanted to taste it. He attacked her eyes because she could see it. And it looked really nice. He attacked her mind. Told her she could be like a god. No new tricks. No new tricks. And here we are in the first The first dispensation in the first 100, 200 years of creation on this beautiful earth, Satan comes down and does this to mankind. Don't you just hate him for that? And here we are, because of the blood and it flows in our streams, we inherited that sin nature. Praise the Lord for what Christ did on the cross. Praise the Lord. Don't ever quit thanking him. So the next thing you know, she goes and tells her husband, saying, look here what I've got. And why did he heal over to that? Oh, honey, it'll be okay. Women, you have a power. You have a power. It's a God-given thing. You've got radar. You can tell things before it ever happens. Ladies, you have a power over your man. And vice versa. But God made it that way. God made you who you are. Men, God made you who you are. And God made marriage. What a wonderful thing. We become one, don't we? One knows something, the other don't. The other knows something, I know how, she don't. God made a perfect thing. And Satan wanted to tear it apart. He wanted to tear it apart. Can you see years forward? The misery because of this point in their life? Can you see him look at her and say, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have to be out here digging this ground and fighting these briars and thorns. If it wasn't for you, if it wasn't for you, if it wasn't for you and back and forth. And Satan sat back and say, hi, buddy, I've really got them tore up. You see, right off the bat, the devil got in the middle of this world. The first dispensation. Because the rest of the dispensations are affected from this right here. This is when sin entered into the world. So what's the next thing to happen? Their termination. God says, you're done. He comes down. They realize they don't have no clothes on. He makes some clothes for them. First blood shed, innocent blood, makes them clothes. In Genesis 3:15, God says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy heel, and thou shalt bruise, it shall bruise his head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The first verse in the Bible that talks about a Savior. Mark it down. Genesis 3:15. The first verse that says, Satan, you're done. That there's a man coming and it's going to take your head off. It's going to bruise your heel. It's military talk. Hit somebody in the head, they're done. If you hit them in the heel, they go home for a while and then come back. What was done to our great Savior? Oh, he was down 2 or 3 days, but he was right back. He got the keys to heaven and hell. Satan's going to be put in his place. He will be cast into the lake of fire. We are on the winning side. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and in sorrow thou wilt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Set things in order. God's putting things in order because of the sin. He wants to get Order in the family. Order in the family. How many families are just completely blown apart when this order gets out of whack? And then to Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. See there? See the power that you ladies have? And hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thou's sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of your life. The thorns also and the thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat herbs of the field. In the sweat of their face shalt thou eat bread, thou till thou return unto the ground. Right there, the curse of death. For out of it wast thou taken, for the dust thou art, and unto the dust thou shalt return. And Adam called unto his wife's name Eve, and because she was the mother of all living things, and to Adam also, and unto his wife, did the Lord God make a coat of skins and clothe them. And on it went. And the next thing, I don't have much time, they're terminated. They're ushered out of the garden. Two cherubims are placed there, and they can't get back in. And that is the end of the first dispensation of innocence. Next week, we're going to deal with them right there on and see how the sin affected the world from that point. Big changes. From that point on to the day right now, we're dealing with that, what happened at that day. We're dealing with it. We live in it. But praise the Lord, there's a day coming. There's a day coming that God's going to take care of it all. And we'll talk about that too here in some weeks to come. Anyway, God's good all the time. Praise Him for His salvation. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for this lesson on how sin entered into the world. Lord, help us to be mindful of that with our children, our friends, and our family. So easy to get off track. Satan is a trickster. Lord, help us today. Use these verses. Keep them in our mind freshly that Satan is a liar and the father of it. Lord, we thank You so for Christ and what He did on the cross. Give us a wonderful day together here at church. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Thank you all.